That's why it excites me that people are willing to get out on a Sunday night and a Wednesday night and brag on Jesus Christ again. Amen? I don't get discouraged about anything when it comes to that. You get, hey, if there's five people show up bragging on Jesus Christ or 55, we've got people together that are willing to brag on him. Amen. And he's worth it. Amen. Not just Sunday morning, but Sunday night, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday night, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. We should probably even make up another day. He's just worth it. Amen? He's worth it. Amen. I think if we're not careful, we forget that we were on our way to hell to burn forever and ever and ever, looking for that drop of water that would never come. And then Jesus saved us. What a Savior. What a Savior. Acts chapter 27. What a Savior. Praise his holy name. S-A-V-I-O-U-R. I guess we should ask, we're down south, is you in the Savior? Amen. Acts chapter 27, we're going to look at Paul again. We look at Paul quite a bit. Paul's a pattern for Christians. Jesus Christ is our ultimate goal, but since we are going to fall short, Paul is a great pattern, because Paul, even though he fell short and struggled, he stayed in and finished the race. And that's what we want to do. We want to end well. You know, you got to have a beginning if you're going to end well, amen? And that beginning is trusting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And the middle part of the race is really important. But I think what the most important part is the end of the race. You know, you can make some mistakes and get that into the blood of Jesus Christ, but boy, to end well. And Paul, he ended well. In Acts chapter 27, we'll look at a few things today. We'll start in verse number 1. And when it was determined that we should sail into Italy, now remember, Paul's a prisoner here, they delivered Paul and certain other prisoners unto one named Julius, a centurion of Augustus' band. And entering into a ship of Admiritium, we launched, meaning to sail by the coast of Asia, one Aristarchus, a Macedonian of Thessalonica, being with us. And the next day we touched at Sidon, and Julius courteously entreated Paul and gave him liberty to go unto his friends and refresh himself. And when we had launched from thence, we sailed under Cyprus, because the winds were contrary. And when we had sailed over the Sea of Cilicia and Pamphylia, we came to Myra, a city of Lycia. And there the centurion found a ship of Alexandria sailing into Italy, and he put us therein. And when we had sailed slowly many days and scarce were come over against Nidus, the wind not suffering us, we sailed under Crete over against Salmon. And hardly passing it, came unto a place which is called the Fair Havens, nigh whereunto was the city of Lycia. Now when much time was spent, and when sailing was now dangerous, because the fast was now already past, Paul admonished them, and said unto them, Sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading and ship, but also of our lives. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. And because the haven was not commodious to winter in, the more part advised to depart thence also, if by any means they might attain to Phenice and there to winter, which is an haven of Crete, and lieth toward the southwest and northwest. And when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, loosing thence, they sailed close by Crete. But not long after there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euroclydon. And when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive. And running under a certain island, which is called Clauda, we had much work to come by the boat, which when they had taken up, they used helps undergirding the ship, and fearing lest they should fall into the quicksand, strake sail, and so were driven. And we being exceedingly tossed with the tempest, the next day they lightened the ship. And the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, Sirs, you should have hearkened unto me and not have loosened from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this day the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God, that it shall be even as it was told me. That's something right there. If you just believe God and believe what was told you from the Word of God, that's two-thirds of the battle right there. Knowing that we're going to heaven one day, knowing that He's going to rapture us out of this mess one day, knowing that He is our Lord and Savior forever. When the devil tries to whisper doubts in your ear and get doubts in your heart, just knowing that the Word of God is true. I believe God, he said. Howbeit, verse 26, we must be cast upon a certain island. But when the 14th night was come, as we were driven up and down in Adria, about midnight the shipmen deemed that they drew near to some country, and sounded and found it 20 fathoms. And when they had gone a little further, they sounded again and found it 15 fathoms. Then fearing, lest we should have fallen upon rocks, they cast four anchors out of the stern and wished for the day. And as the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship, when they had let down the boat into the sea under color, as though they would have cast anchor out of the foreship, Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, Except these abide in the ship, ye cannot be saved. Then the soldiers cut off the ropes of the boat and let her fall off. And while the day was coming on, Paul besought them all to take meat, saying, This day is the 14th day that ye have tarried and continued fasting, having taken nothing. Wherefore I pray you to take some meat, for this is for your health. For there shall not an hair fall from the head of any of you. And when he had thus spoken, he took bread and gave thanks to God in presence of them all. And when he had broken it, he began to eat. Then were they all of good cheer, and they also took some meat. And we were in all in the ship 260 souls. And when they had eaten enough, they lightened the ship and cast out the wheat into the sea. And when it was day, they knew not the land, but they discovered a certain creek with a shore, into the which they were minded, if it were possible, to thrust in the ship. And when they had taken up the anchors, they committed themselves into the sea, and loosed the rudder bands, and hoised up the mainsail to the wind, and made toward shore. And falling into a place where two seas met, they ran the ship aground, and the fore part stuck fast and remained unmovable, but the hinder part was broken with the violence of the waves. And the soldiers' counsel was to kill the prisoners, lest any of them should swim out and escape. But the centurion, willing to save Paul, kept them from their purpose and commanded that they which could swim should cast themselves first into the sea and get to land. And the rest, some on boards and some on broken pieces of the ship. And so it came to pass that they escaped all safe to land. We preached out of this probably pretty recently, maybe 3 or 4 months ago, preached out of this chapter. But I was noticing some things as I studied through here the other day. And the first thing I want to notice is in verse number 10, it says in Paul here, Paul being a prisoner, but you have to understand, Paul was a prisoner of the Lord. And being a prisoner of the Lord, he was in prison for doing good. So Paul had a clear conscience as a prisoner. And here in verse number 10, it says, And said unto them, Sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading of ship, but also of our lives. So Paul's trying to help them. We see the help. The man of God gets a word from the God, and he gives it to those men. Now, Paul here on this ship is much like a pastor, because what he's doing is he's getting a message from God and he's giving it to the people. And it's up to the people what they do with that message. That message, unbeknownst to the preacher most of the time, has the purpose of helping people. Just like the Old Testament prophets prophesied and really didn't know what they were prophesying half the time, when Jesus Christ was not even here yet, David was prophesying of his coming. David was prophesying of his death, burial, and resurrection, and the fact that he wouldn't leave his, God the Father would not leave his soul in hell, and David didn't even know what he was saying. But the word was for help. And here Paul is offering help to the people on that ship. And then we see the hindrance in verse 11. It says, "Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul." What is he saying? They listen to the world more than they listen to the word of God. You know why this country is in such a mess? Because they listen to the world. We as a nation listen to the world more than we listen to the word of God. Matter of fact, as a whole, this nation has turned its back on the very words of a living God. And they're willing to listen to the world. We talked about Bill Nye in Sunday school and the fact that they'll listen to him even when his science, so-called, changes, but they'll reject a book that never changes. They'll ridicule a book that is true and faithful and never changes. They'll ridicule a God that is true and faithful that never changes. And they'll latch on to every wind of sound doctrine out there, unsound doctrine, every wind of doctrine, every wind of craziness, everything the world has to offer. And that's what gets people in a mess. And you know what? That's what gets Christians in a mess. Is when they listen to the world and reject the words of God. You know, a lot of Christians don't even know what the words of God are, so they listen to the world because they have no other option. But I submit to you today, there is another option, and that's getting this book in you and finding out what God says. And when the world doesn't match up with the book, you go with the book. But they hindered this. The Holy Spirit of God was dealing with Paul and using Paul, and he said, look, don't sail because there's a storm coming. There's going to be a lot of damage. There's going to be your life's going to be in jeopardy. And they said, you know what? We hear you, Paul, but we're going to listen to the world instead. Isn't it a sad thing to think that Christians would sit in a Bible-believing church and hear a message preached and walk out the door and put more faith and more stock in what the world says than what the Word says? I'm telling you today, they hindered the Holy Spirit's guidance by rejecting the words of God. And then we see the harmful situation in 14 through 19. They're in this storm, and this storm is battering this ship, and they're all worried, and they're tossing things out, and the next thing you know, harm's coming to the ship, and harm's coming to them. They're probably physically beaten and battered just from throwing the things out in the storm. But they got themselves in this harmful situation because they rejected the word of God. Now, I know that some storms are inevitable. And if you're in a storm, Paul was in a storm. He was a prisoner before the wind ever started blowing. But he was in the right storm. He was in a storm for the cause of Jesus Christ. He wasn't in a storm for rejecting the word of Jesus Christ. He was in a storm for spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the only kind of storm a Christian should be in. Amen. But if you're in a storm for going the wrong direction and putting more stock in what the world says than what the Word says, you don't want to be in that storm. So they had brought on this harmful situation by rejecting the truth that Paul had given them. And in verse 20 it says, "And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared," many days it was dark, "and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away." When the light was gone, they had no hope. But Paul offered them light, and they rejected the light. Amen. "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." He gave them the words from God. They rejected those words, ended up in darkness, and all hope was gone. They said, "We're done." Don't you think they realized that Paul was right? They're out there in the storm. There's nothing they could do about it. The best of the best sailing this ship, and they were afraid. They were fearing for their own lives, and they said, you know what? If we'd just listened to the man of God. Not because of Paul, but because of the message. They were hopeless. They had been offered help. They'd hindered that help. They were in a harmful situation. They became hopeless. And thank God for Paul. He was headstrong. You know what he does in 21 through 24? Let's look. But after long absence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, sirs, ye should have hearkened to me and not have loosed from Crete and have gained this harm and loss. You know what he says? God warned you. You should have listened. Amen. Hey, if you're here today and there's something in your life that's not right, if there's something in your life that's keeping you from walking down the path Jesus Christ wants you to walk, if there's something in your life that's keeping you from your prayer life being good and your Bible study being good and that sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit of God and Jesus Christ in this book and on your knees in prayer, if there's something in your life that's hindering that walk, get it right. Get it right. The prodigal son had to go back to where he left the father. And he knew where he left the Father. Hey, when a man or woman, when a Christian sits under the preaching of the Word of God, and hey, it's nothing about the preacher, it's about the Word of God and the Holy Spirit of God. When a man or woman or a Christian of any sort, child even, sits under the preaching of the Word of God, and they reject the Word of God, and they end up off track somewhere over in a ditch, stuck in the muck and mire of this world, God tells them, you remember where you left me? You know why he tells them, you remember where you left me? Because he hasn't left, he's still there. If you just go back and get it right and start from the point he wanted you to start from. Paul stuck with God. Paul was stubborn. You know, you got to have a little bit of stubbornness to be a Baptist. Amen? You got to have a little bit of stubbornness. It's good. If stubbornness is aimed the right direction, it's a good thing. Bullheaded, man. You got to be bullheaded. If you got a little bit of crowd in you, amen? You can go a long way if you got it, your bullheadedness aimed in the right direction. Amen. Or the ladies say, or if you're just male, right? Bullheaded, amen? But boy, that can be used for the good. Or it can be used for bad. Headstrong Paul. And then we see some happiness come about. Look at verse 25. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God, that it shall be even if it was told me. So he's saying, look, don't worry. God told me I was going to stand before Caesar. And he said he'd given me everybody that was with me. We're all going to make it. So be of good cheer. You get over to verse 36. You know what it says? Then were they all of good cheer. We see some happiness. Why? Because even though they went the wrong direction. Hey, look, it wasn't necessarily the wrong direction. It was the wrong time. If they would have waited a few days, they wouldn't have been in that storm. Amen. It's not just about direction, it's about timing. If they would have done this in God's timing, if they'd have listened to the man of God and said, you know what, we're going to do this when God says to go, they would have been fine. But even though they're off in this mess and they feel like it's hopeless and they're in trouble, Paul says, look, I talked to God. They listened to him the next time. Amen. The first time when he says, hey, don't go the wrong way, they said, don't listen to him. And then after they've already messed everything up and they're off in the ditch wondering if they're ever going to make it, then they're just like, let's listen to Paul. I like this message. Amen. Amen. I like this message because this message says I'm going to make it. Because the happiness came because they realized God was still merciful and would still take them back if they would just get right with him. He would still save them from the mess that they had made. And then we see the heartbreaking truth. In 40 through 41, they talk about the anchors hitting, the boat being stuck in, the front of the boat stuck on shore, the back part of the boat being tossed asunder until it was ripped apart. Then they're off on board swimming in toward shore. Hey, couldn't you imagine them swimming in toward shore? Praising God. Saying it was dark, it was dismal, we were done. And then the man of God said, no, there's mercy. And they were swimming in toward shore, not in a boat, but on pieces of a broken boat, and glad to be headed for dry land. But the truth is, they were still in a mess because of their disobedience. They couldn't go back and start before the mess. God had to bring them through the mess. They could have avoided the whole mess. And that's us a lot of times. If we just listen to the Word of God, we could avoid a lot of messes. Thank God for His mercy. Thank God for His grace. Thank God that He's long-suffering. Thank God He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Hey, look, friend, if you're in a storm, thank God that you can turn to Him and trust Him, and He'll bring you through the storm. But wouldn't it be nice to just listen to Him at the head of the other storm and say, I'm not going into this one? Amen. We complain about the storms, and two-thirds of the storms are self-induced, unnecessary storms. Because when the Word of God nails us to our seat, we refuse to accept it and go forward in truth. We'll listen to the world and reject the Word of God. Here comes the storm. But you know something about Paul? We see a man here that would not quit. I didn't say could not quit. God had His hand on him, and God called him to a specific ministry. Paul could have still quit, but he refused to quit. He refused to lay down and die on Jesus Christ, on spiritual matters. He refused to give up. He refused to give in. He refused to get off track. And if he did, he refused to stay off track. That man was sold out to God. You see, Paul was used to him telling people what God says and them rejecting it. That's a heartbreaking thing. You all know, the people that preach in the jails, you know this for sure. It's a heartbreaking thing to preach the truth, see the Holy Spirit of God all over a person, and then 6 months later, see him back in there for the same thing or something worse. It's tough trying to help people. Imagine how God feels. Amen. But it's tough trying to help people because many people just simply don't want help. Hey, we hold out a sign up there that says heaven or hell, gives a Bible verse how to get to heaven on trusting Jesus Christ. And you get the mockers, the naysayers, the I choose hell and all this stuff. They just don't want help. Some people want it, but they won't stick with it. Amen. Because you've got to put some effort into it to stick with it. Oh, when the Holy Spirit of God gets on a man or a woman and says, you are wrong here. You need to get this thing right. And if you don't get this thing right, you are in trouble. Let me spell it out for you, he says. You are going to be in trouble. I said, boy, I don't want to be in trouble. And yet you walk out the door sometimes and forget your prayer life, forget your Bible study, forget your meditating on the Word of God, forget about the message, go on down the road, get caught up into, what are we going to have to eat? What are we going to do this? What are we going to do that? I got this to do, that to do, the other to do. And you know what? We just sometimes are not serious about really following through. Then you got the third group of people. They want help. They finally really want it when it's too late. There's a boy in Indiana prison right now that really wants it, but it's too late. We stay in contact with him. He's got at least 10, maybe 20 years. And God's all over him. God's dealing with him. But now it's too late. It's too late to do what God had called him to do before he rejected the other times. Amen. Now he's trapped. And we look at that, and it's a horrible thing. But you know what else is horrible? For a blood-bought, born-again, church-going believer to be trapped and bound in sin, to reject the Word of God, to thumb their nose at truth, to not want it, to not be serious enough about it, to do their part, and to study, and to pray, and to read that book, and to be faithful to Jesus Christ. And some for a Christian to wait until it's too late to get serious. When you're 110 drawing your last few breaths, it's too late to get serious. The time is now. Amen, amen, and amen. For us to get serious. Paul was serious. Nobody ever doubt Paul. Nobody ever look at Paul and say, he was a pushover. Paul wasn't serious. He just played Christian. Paul didn't play Christian. You know what Paul did? He sold out totally to Jesus Christ. He still battled, he still struggled, but he was sold out. He said, look, I am not going to quit. And you know why Paul was able to give the Word of God to other people? Because Paul was getting the Word of God from God. And when Paul was going the wrong direction, Paul got right so he could keep doing what he was called to do. And every single person in here has the same job Paul had, and that's to tell people that you're going to die and go to hell. You need Jesus Christ. There's one way, not many ways, and Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. You just got to make up your mind you're not going to quit. Think about Paul's opposition. I mean, seriously think about Paul's opposition. I'm not talking about the fact that Paul was stoned. I'm not talking about the fact that Paul was beaten regularly. I'm not talking about the fact that everywhere he went, he was being persecuted and somebody wanted to kill him. I'm not talking about the fact that Paul had to stand in front of people that could take his life any second and preach to them things they didn't want to hear. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the spiritual opposition. Talk about the flesh that Paul had to fight, just like you and I had to fight it. You know what he said? Oh, wretched man that I am. This is one of the greatest preachers that ever walked the face of this earth. Next to Jesus Christ, he probably was the best preacher. And you know what he said? Oh, wretched man that I am. You know, if Paul would have changed one word in that sentence, he wouldn't have been used the way God used him. He could have said, oh, wretched man that I was. But Paul knew the truth. Paul accepted the truth. And Paul understood that if he didn't live for the truth, he'd be just another mess on the roadside. And people would walk by and they'd spit on him and say, there's that guy that said he loved Jesus Christ. What about him? You know what he said? He didn't want to be a castaway. He didn't want to live the last few days of his life bringing reproach on Jesus Christ. He wanted to spend his last breath bragging on the Lord and Savior. And he did, because he refused to give up the flesh. How about the devil? You think the devil didn't have Paul's number on speed dial? This guy's doing more than any 10 people were doing at the same time Paul walked this earth. You think the devil wasn't waking up in the morning with Paul? You think he wasn't walking down the road with Paul? You think he wasn't bending down beside Paul when Paul was praying and whispering the same garbage in Paul's ear he whispers in yours? Amen. You think the devil wasn't telling him to quit? Boy, Paul, you've done enough. I mean, Paul, look at other people. You know what the Bible says? Comparing themselves among themselves is not wise. Comparing themselves, let me define that real easily for us. It makes you a fool if you compare yourselves among other people. Because then the devil can say, well, yeah, Paul, you started 15 churches. You've led 100 people to the Lord just last week. You've done more than all the other apostles. You deserve a break, Paul. Why don't you just quit? The Lord will understand. You think the devil didn't tell Paul that? And he knew when to tell Paul that. You know how I know? Because he knows when to tell me that. And he knows when to tell you that. His timing is not like ours. His timing is almost impeccable. Amen. Because he knows when to whisper and what to whisper. And it's funny that a blood-bought, born-again believer will hear the words of the devil and not be sensitive to that still, small voice. And the reason is we don't take this book and our prayer lives as serious as we should. Paul had a battle, and he decided, he purposed in his heart that he was going to stay in. Look, if you're going to serve the Lord, you've got to have three things. You've got to have three things. You've got to have God. You got to be saved by Jesus Christ. You got to be sold out to Jesus Christ. And listen to this third one. You don't miss this. You got to be satisfied with Jesus Christ. And the reason I say satisfied with Jesus Christ is there might come a time and that's all you have. Walking with the Lord, that time could come soon. That's all you have. Basically, when we get down to our last breaths, that's all we have. It's not the bank account. That's not going to comfort you. If you have a title to 6,000 mansions, it won't comfort you. Friends and family can't even comfort you. You just have to be satisfied with Jesus Christ. Paul was. You know what he said? Talked about everything he had. Talked about him being a Hebrew of the Hebrews and of the tribe of Benjamin and being a Pharisee of the Pharisees and all everything that he had. He said, I count it all but dung that I may win Christ. Paul wasn't just saved and sold out. He was satisfied. And when you get to the point where Jesus Christ satisfies you, you're going to win this race. Amen. Paul was satisfied with Jesus Christ. The problem with this world is all they want to do is satisfy the flesh. Flesh can't be satisfied. But you can be satisfied in the inner man, spiritually satisfied with the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and that's what counts. Lord, no matter what you have for me, I want you. They can take everything from me, Paul said, but they can't take you. And they can't take me from you because you bought me with the blood of Jesus Christ. You kept me by the Holy Spirit of God. They can take everything this world has, but they can't take you from me, and they can't take me from you. Amen. If you're going to make it, you're going to serve the Lord, you're going to end well, you got to have God. You got to have gumption. I like that word, gumption. That's old-fashioned hillbilly for spiritual, for physical strength to keep going. Amen. You got to have that gumption. That gumption is where you, when you've got nothing left and you're at the end of the line and you say, I'm out of energy, and you go, all right, I'm going to keep on going, though, and you get that second wind. That's gumption. You know what gumption is? That's the spiritual, that's the brother of unction. Unction is the spiritual energy. That's what the Holy Spirit does to a man spiritually or a woman spiritually. But gumption, that's that energy for the physical part to keep on going. You got to have God, you got to have gumption. And man, oh man, today more than ever, you know what you got to have? You got to have grit. Now, you know, y'all think I'm talking about Southern breakfast probably right now. You're looking at me like that. I'm talking about grit. You know what grit is? It's a toughness. And it's a roughness. Amen. Because what the world wants is the world wants you to be some kind of emery cloth. And God says, no, sometimes you need to be 60 grit. Amen? When you're out on the street corner and they come up to you and they say, you really believe that fairy tale? Oh, that story that men wrote about that Jesus guy? You got to say, yeah, and you're going to burn in hell if you don't. Instead of going, oh, well, I don't know if I believe it or not. The book says it. You got to have some grit, man. Some grit, just like sandpaper. If you got grit, you can take some stuff off people. You know what sandpaper does? It's got grit and it's able to take some stuff off. And if you don't have grit, hey, I'm going to tell you something. If you're under 40 years old, you better check your paper and see if it's wet and you got any grit. Because these kids that are being raised today do not have grit. That's why even though they know the truth, they'll hug on and hang on to perversions and lies instead of standing for the truth, because they have no grit. It's backbone. Amen? There's nothing wrong with standing strong on what you believe, especially if you're right. Amen. Amen. But the only ones that are standing strong anymore are the people that are wrong. Think about it. You got to have grit. You got to have God. You got to have gumption. You got to have grit. If you don't have grit, you're going to quit. Amen. Because as soon as you start caving in, and as soon as the opposition overpowers you, you're already on your way out. If you can't stand and say, I unequivocally believe this book, if you can't stand and say, I don't care what you believe, let me tell you something, Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior. And when they bring the heat and they bring the opposition, and it's going to come, if you can't say, hey, you know what? I know whom I believed. I can give you an answer of the hope that lies within me. If you can't do that, you're not going to finish the race. You don't have to be a sissy to be a Christian. Meekness is not weakness. You can be humble and still stand on the truth. Amen. But Paul had that. He had God. He had gumption. He had grit. You think he didn't have gumption? They beat him. 40 stripes, save one more than once, and he kept on going. I'll tell you what, that's serious business. But he made himself keep going for the cause of Christ. Amen. And he had grit. He stood up to the opposition on a regular basis and said, you know what? Think what you want, but I'm going to tell you what. The answer is Jesus. You can think what you want. You can tell me whatever you want, but let me tell you what happened to me. I was on the road to Damascus on my way to hell persecuting Christians. I was as wicked could be, and God put me on my face, got my attention, saved my soul, put me on the right path. That's where I'm at today, and you can be on the same path. He didn't say, well, you know, the truth's the truth. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The devil wants to make you stop giving the truth. And if you don't have grit, you'll quit. Amen. Think about them martyrs. We've talked about the martyrs a lot. And you look, read Fox's Book of Martyrs. Terrible, terrible things that those men and women and children went through, refusing to reject Jesus Christ, refusing to turn their back on the truth. Terrible, horrible things. And I can't remember if it was John Huss or Ridley or Latimer. I can't remember which one it was, but they said, when the flames had covered his body and his fingers, and his fingers he was holding up toward heaven were flaming like 10 golden candles toward heaven as he was drawing his last breath in the fire. That was a man that had God. But that was also a man that God had. Because think about this. I think about strange things sometimes. You probably never notice that. But I'll go ahead and confess. You remember Moses, the children of Israel fighting, him on the hill with his hands toward the air, and Aaron and Hur lifting up and holding up his hands. I picture this. Here this man was, it may have been Huss, John Huss, I'm not 100% sure, but he's holding his hands up toward heaven with these 10 fingers burning like candles toward the heaven of heavens as a witness and a testimony to the power and mercy and grace and love of Jesus Christ. But you know what I think? I think there's a good possibility we'll get to heaven and we'll find out Moses and Elijah were holding up his hands. Amen. The two witnesses. As these men and women went through everything they went through, I believe they were there holding up their hands. I might be wrong, can't give you a Bible for that, but I think it's a good possibility. Somebody had to hold up their hands. The two witnesses would be good ones to hold up the hands of the witnesses. Amen. But see, they'll hold up your hands too. I hope none of us ever come to that kind of fate. But you know what? Better that kind of faith with 10 fingers toward Jesus Christ than to be on the side of the road, a castaway, being laughed at, being mocked and ridiculed by the enemy. Because one day, we sat in a church service and heard something from God and rejected it. Amen. And rejected it. You got to have grit. You got to have grit to take some stuff from God too, because he'll work you over. Amen. Amen. He can work you over like nobody can work you over. They talk about these MMA guys fighting and tapping out and all that. Good night. I'm gonna be honest with you. I tap out quick with God. I try to always remember that. Me and him wrestle, he's gonna win. And you got to have some grit and be willing to change and to take some rebuke. But man, oh man, if you really want help and you're serious about doing something with the help and you don't want to wait until it's too late for the help, he's offering to help. You carry the help in and out of here with you. The Holy Spirit that lives in you and the Word of God in your hands. You have the help. Are you willing to accept it? Heads down and eyes closed for just a minute. Christian, if God's dealt with your heart, I know he's dealt with mine over these issues. You can get right with him on whatever it is in your seat. As your pastor, I want to end well. But I'm going to tell you something. My heart is that everybody in here ends well. And I believe, I know that God wants you to end well. And Jesus Christ is worthy for you to take advantage of the gumption and have some grit and hang in there for him. So we get to heaven, we'll have something to lay back at his feet. Because praise his holy name, he is worthy. He went through more than we'll ever have to go through because of what he went through. Amen. He snatched us out of the jaws of the lion, the devil, plucked our feet from eternal fire, and put us on a path of righteousness. And he did it for his name's sake. Won't you live for him? You got to have God. You got to have gumption. You got to have grit. But if you don't have God, the other two things don't matter. The question generally is not whether you have God. If you're saved, you're saved. The question is, does God have you? Are you rejecting the Word of God and putting more stock in the things of this world? Father, we love you and thank you for Jesus Christ. We thank you for Paul, our pattern. We thank you that Paul struggled, but he kept trying to get closer to you each and every day. Thank you for this Bible. Without it, we wouldn't even know of Paul. And Lord, thank you for your mercy and grace. Help us, strengthen us. We need you. We need salvation, which we have through the blood of Jesus Christ. We need to be sold out. We need to be satisfied with you, Lord. You do satisfy. Help us, Lord, to keep on keeping on till you call us home. And Lord, whether it's the undertaker or the uppertaker, that we be found in your will. We draw our last breath. Help us to be like Paul in that respect. Help us to finish this fight to your honor and your glory by not rejecting your words and by sticking with the old-time religion, the old-time stuff, Lord, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ and the words of God. Help us not to fail and falter. Help us to increase our faith daily by selling out to you each and every morning and being satisfied with you all day long. We ask this in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen.